Hey guys, good morning, good afternoon, good day, whatever time of day it is for you. I am here at Stitchcast Studio with a very special partnership going on. My name is Kyla, I'm a Stitcher, and I'm really grateful to be here right now with some apprentices from St. Louis Artworks who have been collaborating with Your Words STL as well. So I'm here with Messiah, Fateha, Sebastian, Micah, Teddy, and AJ, and they've been expanding and generating creative writing on topics that are close to their heart and true to them, and they've been making zines on topics such as
girlhood,
racism,
free will,
representation,
asexuality, and aromanticism,
and black success.
Yeah, so you're about to hear some exciting conversations between our apprentices and also some guest authors on some of the author's work, and our apprentices also will be sharing some of their own work and discussing. But I would love to hear from some of our apprentices about some reflections or takeaways from the process of creating things related to your identity or, you know, and expanding these things into both verbal and visual form.
For me, making my zine was kind of complicated because halfway through the zine, I realized that the issue that I was talking about is something that is still, like, relevant to me today. So it was kind of hard for me to find, like, a resolve for this story. But I figured it out, and the resolve that I have is, like, expressing yourself regardless of, like, other people's perceptions of you and just being yourself, honestly. So, yeah. Pretty cool.
Mine was difficult to make. Really, really difficult. At first, I had no idea what my zine was going to be. Then I was reading some comics at home. And then I saw X-Men. And I was like, how about how the mutants get mistreated and how it's racism in our world and their world as well? So I decided to make one about how people stayed in that one place and didn't get up from their seats, and Gambit just sending down the joint his mail. So yeah, that's mine.
For me, my original topic was freeing the soul or having a free soul. But the more I tried doing more poems about that, the more of a struggle it became. So I just decided to freestyle it and use free will as my theme.
For me, I essentially talked about out my time, spending time with my mom when I grew up in St. Charles throughout out my days from elementary school to fifth grade. And going to the mall and going to the arcade was one of the things that me and my mom usually did back then during the weekdays, because that was a very fond memory of me and my mom hanging out, because it's one of the few bonding activities we had after we grew up. And looking at it now, she whooped me a lot in fighting games. Like, I wasn't able to beat her, but nowadays I think I can beat her in it. But a lot of other things that I do in it, I feel like once I was able to find certain things that I was able to relate towards me growing up, I wasn't able to find it because most media we weren't able to see that, whether it was Black, Asian, Hispanic representation. But nowadays it's sort of plastered all over the place. But growing up and seeing a character that looked just like me, it was very important, because you wouldn't exactly see that, especially for a person that I essentially just styled my whole hairstyle about. So looking at it now, it was a very important memory going about, and I'm happy I was able to put that in design.
It was hard for me, not just because mine was relatively grand in scale as a zine, there are a lot of things I want to say, but for the sake of time, I'll just truncate it. But I just want to say I was very happy, despite the hardships. I was very happy to be able to explore these topics through an action fantasy story, like I've always wanted to.
My story, my zine, I came in like 4 weeks late, so my zine is still not really fully developed. But when I came in, I was mainly thinking about Black success and what it looks like to be successful, and but also while in St. Louis, which is also a task amongst itself. So basically, I also wanted to pick something that would be relevant to me throughout my whole life. So I just ended up choosing Black success. It wasn't really hard for me to make it, but it was hard for me to like gather my ideas and put them on paper and turn it into pictures and into like a zine in general, because there's so much area to cover.
Yeah, so those were some words from our fantastic apprentices on the work that they've been doing. And you'll hear them in discussion shortly with a guest author.
I'm Fateo Washington, and I'm 17 years old.
Pleasure.
I'm 15 years old.
Pleasure to meet you. And now, Jarrell Watkins, poet, playwright. What can I say about myself? The places I've lived, I'm from Virginia. Lived in Massachusetts for about 4 or 5 years. Also lived in Iowa. I was in Iowa for 2 or 3 years. Right recently, I was in Japan for 1.5 years, and now I'm in Los Angeles. So, yeah, kind of move around a lot.
Cool. So we're in St. Louis, Missouri. This is with a nonprofit called St. Louis Artworks and also Your Words STL. So they are what St. Louis Artworks called apprentices, and they're working on zines. So we wanted to do this podcast series just so that they could be exposed to some really cool artists and writers that are, you know, doing the work. And so, yeah, when you're ready, you can read your poem. We have the copy here, so we'll follow along, and then we'll have a convo about it.
My pleasure. So I'll be reading my poem, Heat Beat. Relentless waves on summer days, sipping southern sweet tea to drown the heat away. Steam rising from Jima's apple pie. Mama spanking you before you even know why. Skirt, skirt from tires bringing frozen desserts to the neighborhood. Older brother giving you his only dollar. Buy yourself something sweet. It's the culprit for molten chocolates. Thankful for freezers, they reverse this awful process, yeah. Heat B, the boom boss blasting hip-hop classics. Your pops recollects the music they had back in his day. It's your parents dancing, turned evening concerts of Marvin Gaye. You remember what's going on. Your parents been fighting on and on. Heat be mama spanking you again because you got in grown folks' business, yeah. Mama worked overtime so her baby could go to school in style instead of wearing hand-me-downs from third cousins across town. Heat. But your daddy surviving the beat down from the police that caught him being, or was he fleeing? Brother teaching you things you couldn't learn in your own, like how to discern fake from a friend, difference between having pride and having heart, how to believe the little you had was plenty. Yeah. Heat is energy. On the real, we know that heat be everything. Thank you, thank you. So I guess I could start off a little bit just talking about how the poem came to be. I was trying to capture a bit of the community I was living in. Once again, I'm from Richmond, Virginia. And so, but I don't think this has to be particular to Richmond. I think this is a scene that is seen in many communities across the U.S. But I wanted to capture some of the things I was seeing and noticing, you know, from the joy to the hardship. So.
So what are you guys' some of your favorite lines that you've kind of pointed out from his poem?
Mine was, mama worked overtime so her baby could go to school in style instead of wearing hand-me-downs from third cousins across town. That was mine because I can relate to it.
Same as me, but I have another one. Mama spanking you before you even know it. No,
Needless to say, there's some truth to some of these. There's a lot of truth to some of these lines, so especially that part.
We could talk a little bit about that. I like that you brought up truth. Like, do you guys feel like you're portraying like a certain kind of your own truth, like in the zines that you're working on? Could you talk a little bit about that?
My zine is basically about like the cycle of hate, and you see hate in like every community or just in the world that you're living in, because like people decide to continue it on instead of squashing it. Because a lot of fights can start from petty beef or hate that somebody has within themselves or for that person.
Mine is about racism, about how humans treat mutants. basically how some people view other people differently, not treating them equally or the same, seeing them as lower than themselves or freaks.
Word. So with these zines, are they multimedia? Do they have poetry, prose? I want to hear more about the zines.
Well, mine doesn't really have any poetry. Well, I think it does anyway. Mine's just kind of writing about how I see, or how my opinion, basically.
Mine is like my opinion on mutants and how I was reading DC, not Marvel comics.
Like Marvel comics, any particular comic?
This one was X-Men. Gambit.
Oh, yeah, Gambit. No, Gambit. Gambit's the one with the cards, correct?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
Queen, do you want to read a little bit of what you've been working on?
Sure. So I said, for others, our communities now suffer and break down, causing protests that sometimes cause the cycle to become worse. You cannot fight hate with violence, nor can you change the cycle with a broken mindset.
Word. I love, like, the declaration of that. You know, you can't change words for a broken mindset. I think that's key for people like to hear. And the more we declare that and state that, I think that can be reinforced. And instead of becoming worse, it actually becomes into an action that breaks that cycle. So that's powerful for you to put down.
Mine is more like a story. We start off in the restaurant. Gambit is sitting down eating spaghetti. A man comes over, taps his shoulder. Gambit looks backwards with food in his mouth. He says, but his mouth full. What do you need? The man looks at him angrily and says, get out of here, you freak. We do not like your kind here. Gambit shoves it off as he goes back to eating. The man knocks the plate out of his hand and tells him to leave once more. Gambit grabs his staff and hits him. The worker behind the counter grabs the phone and calls the police after getting scared about what's about to happen next. Gambit starts to walk out the restaurant after grabbing his cards and staff before the police come. As he walks back home, he gets ugly looks of anger and disgust by the people around him.
Word. I've seen a lot in this piece as well, too, especially thinking about for marginalized folks, everyday occurrences, the mundane can be sites of protest. So even by Gambit being in this restaurant enjoying a meal, that is an act of protest. And he's persecuted for that simple act. But yeah, and it's also connecting to me for a lot of the history with like the lunch counter sit-ins in the 1960s, etc. I feel nourished by the words. And I love to see like the finished product of the zines.
Yeah, so when we were talking a little bit about your poem, like a little bit before we hopped on the call, I thought Queen said some really cool things about a line. So I wanted to make sure that we talked about that. So if you want to touch on that.
Is the culprit for molten chocolates thankful for freezes? They reverse this awful process. I had thought that it wasn't really talking about chocolate.
Okay. What was it talking about?
To me, I thought it was talking about like life, if that makes sense. Mm. Like just being a kid, growing up in a certain neighborhood. Sometimes certain things can't reverse processes or things that are what you've seen.
That's a keen eye. Wow. That's a deep read into that. I really appreciate that.
She also mentioned that how it sounded a bit like a riddle, the way that you organized those lines. So if you could talk a little bit about that, like your intentionality with the flow there and how it lends to the meaning.
Absolutely. And I like that, thinking about it as a riddle. And so what I try to do sonically with the poems is I try to put certain words together. So there's certain words I kind of hit with slant rhymes, the culprit for molten chocolates, right? So thankful for freezers, they reverse this awful process, right? So there's a lot of like these, like the assonance, like those kind of vowel sounds that are kind of get pushed along. And so for me, it's a bit painful for me to read sometimes. But I think what we're talking about too as well with the riddle of it, I think if you score the music of the poem along with the rhythm, sometimes things can be said without being said. And it's precisely what you gleaned on, the fact that there's something else that's going on here. So appreciate that.
Is there anywhere else in the poem you guys think that he does that? Or there's like something that's being said, but not completely being said? So there's no wrong answer.
It's like you look at some stuff and you think it's something, but you just walk past it as it's like normal.
Hmm. I just want to speak to that. I think too that it really depends on the audience. Like something that gets talked about a lot when we think about writing, who's the audience, right? And so when I was writing this for us, you know. And so I think if someone came, I want my poems to be able to be read by anyone, you know. But I do think there's certain readings, there's certain things you can get from the poem if you have an insider knowledge about like what's going on. Like if you don't know who Marvin Gaye is or haven't heard that song, then you've already lost the element, you know. Or if you never heard like a tie school skirt skirt in the neighborhood, you know, you kind of lost that. Or if you never been fearful of a mama, you know, before, you know, there's things that you're missing from the poem. So some of these riddles are, you know, maybe are not riddles because they are those normal everyday occurrences, and that we have seen them so much in our living, in our being, that when we read it or we see it, it's like, oh yeah, I know this is familiar, you know. But there are some things that you can glean upon, like that line with the culprit molten chocolate set, there might be something else that's going on there. So, but no, I really appreciate it's exciting to hear people talk about this poem. I wrote it maybe six years ago, I imagine. So, yeah.
Kind of just connecting back to that, I feel like also like because there are shared experiences, like Queen was definitely like speaking to that. And on the surface level, like calling it a riddle is because of the sonic nature, but it's less of a riddle because Queen, like you knew exactly what he was talking about. Like, you know, you had that like on point. So I think that contrast of the sound and then also the meaning is something that is cool that is being picked up on. Any other lines you want to talk to him about? You sure? You underlined a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure most of it is stuff that I know. Like my grandparents normally listen to Marvin Gaye, stuff like that. I think it worked normally. Boys being boys, you got right now. And then, what's it got again? Yeah, them trying to get us close so we don't look like we just woke up out of bed and just got some clothes off the street and just decided, yeah, here we go, just put that on.
Right. If I may, I have a question actually going back to you guys' pieces. What was the writing process like? Like how did those, like the concepts come, or what do you do when you're like, oh, I'm going to write this story or write this, you know, this poem?
Well, I can't relate to the older brother part because I am the oldest. It seems like from your first experience down to your last, down to where you're getting older into your, close to your teens, normally you do get whooped a lot as a kid.
I'm in for the works that you guys shared with me, like what was the writing process like? So how did these stories came to be? How did the story about Gambit of the Restaurant or Queen with the, you know, declaration, like how did that thought came to be? Like what was the urgency for you both to put that to, you know, pen to page?
You can also think about like maybe like the origin or like where the beginning of the idea came from, I think is something that Jarrell is also getting at.
Yeah, so I do remember the restaurant thing. Yeah, but the biggest reminder of it that came into mind was when I rewatched Umbrella Academy season 2. And one of the characters, it was during a protest where they sat on the bench at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They just stayed there. And then she was one of the main characters. She was sitting with her husband there. But over time, she did have to leave because the world was going to end at some point. So she wanted to keep the life that she had, but wanted to change how her circumstances was, but she couldn't.
So it's interesting to me that he is asking you about your art and you're talking about someone else's as like the inspiration or like the thing that got you thinking about that. So it makes me think about like how important it is to see yourself reflected or see the things that you're interested in be reflected, or even the opposite. Like you see something that doesn't reflect you and then it makes you feel and see things. So then you start writing. I feel like that's kind of like what you were getting at in terms of seeing something that sparked your interest and you kind of put your own twist on it and connected it to your own interests.
Yes.
Yeah.
For my writing process, I just kind of write, like, idea may pop in my head, like, halfway through writing, and then I kind of connect it back together. Same with like my drawing and stuff. Or like if I'm feeling a very strong way or like upset and I write, then maybe that's where the idea comes from. It just depends on what happened to me that day or what I saw that day. And that's what I put on the paper.
That's interesting. I'm wondering, have you ever written or heard about haiku by chance? I think haiku might be worth like tapping into a bit more, because haiku are very in the moment, you know, kind of brief experiences of what happened. And I really love, you know, how going about the day, you see something, witness something, there's an emotion, there's something there, and then it goes right into the page. And so, and I think you have that, the observation, you have that lens to do that. So I invite you to consider writing haiku, you know, or something that kind of like this short, like, you know, or sing canes or haikus that kind of get into the moment.
A key word that's coming to mind right now is presence. Like, I feel like in your poem, Jarrell, and then also your guys' work, presence is coming up for me, and having to be present in order to be a witness or to observe what it is that's happening and then to document it. I feel like that's a through line through all three of these things that we've read today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, both presence and also present, you know, so one, you know, taking observation, a note of like the presence that's in the poem, but also thinking about the poem or the story of the work as an act, like both the present of making it, you know, so there's a present of us actually sitting down at some point, either with a notebook or laptop or wherever we write, and having that present act, you know, of writing that. But then it's also what happens, even if the piece has been in the past tense, you know, there's still a certain sense of both presence and present working throughout that. And I think especially with the works that we both shared, you know, one in the restaurant, one talking about the cyclical violence, and this one talking about pretty much observations in the neighborhood, you know, there's a sense of observation and that you have to have a sense of presence in order to actually have that keen eye for that. So absolutely think we have a through line of presence.
Another thing this is making me think about Queen is that Queen has these illustrations that's kind of going to go through their zine. And in the illustrations, there's like this repetitive theme of the eye.
I chose like just random eyes because that's what you kind of see when you see hate. You see eyes. Everybody's looking in, or everybody's peering in and just watching the hate happen. Like basically being a bystander. Even I've done it before, because I've just stood there because you don't really know what to do. Or sometimes you can't really do anything because it's not your place, or you yourself will get hurt within that hate or get caught in that cycle of hate. But yeah, it's just like witnessing it. Even you witness it in your family too. Like you witness hate go through your family or through your neighborhood.
I love that idea. So in the zine, so you have like the narrative or like the prose bits, and then you have like actually illustrations of various different eyes kind of just working with the text.
That's pretty cool.
Do you by chance have one of the illustrations of the eyes with you?
Yeah, I'm just kind of like all the way.
it's all good. I'm just curious.
I'm gonna get it for you.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Oh wow. Okay, so not only is just the eye, but it's also the text too. So wow, okay, that's— Hold on, let me look at it a little bit more. So I love the fact too that the eye is taking up the whole entire space of the page. So it's not like the eyes, you know, when we think about our face or our head, like the eye is kind of just like one quadrant of the face. Not even that, maybe one sixth. So the fact that the eye is taking up the whole entire page is like, it becomes a metaphor in itself. Like what you're saying is like, you know, it's the way that we peer in and see. And so the eye is actually literally taking up the whole entire world, because the world that exists is what's on the page. And then we see hate as like kind of the pupil, you know? I think that's powerful. That's a powerful image, yeah.
You should show the other one that I pointed out.
Okay, so now we have, okay, wow. All right, there's a lot going on here. So now only do we have two eyes, and then one kind of gives an vision for me of like the sun. Another one has like all these orbits around it, you know? So I'm still seeing kind of like a cosmic world kind of building thing with the eye, and that it's kind of like the metaphor which you crafted is that, you know, pretty much essentially like a whole entire ways in which a lot of people take in the world, you know, becomes their eyes and they can orbit around that. Like that hate can just be a cyclical thing. Like you're saying, like break that declaration of breaking that cyclical violence. And I think this piece, does the piece have a title or the eye?
Not really.
Oh, no, but give it a title. It was really good. So that's pretty cool.
Now, speaking of titles, like what made you think of your title? Because it's, you know, it's repeated through. And I always think it's interesting when poets decide to do that. That they use the title for the thing that they repeat through the poem.
I can speak to that, but I'm curious about what our apprentices think about the title. Like, why did I choose heat be, you know? Or what is heat? What is heat meaning in the poem? I'm curious about that.
To me, it kind of feels like a warning, but I don't know if it's like a warning. Like if you say heat be, or like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like heed.
Well, what does it make you feel when you read the title? Like when you first read it, like what kind of went through your brain? You could start there.
The first line, the relentless waves of summer to this. I hate the summer. I'm definitely taking that right. Like, I like it that I don't have school, true. But how the heat, you feel it, and how you're going through your day, it's terrible.
It's interesting that you said going through your day because it, to think of like heat being a thing that kind of follows.
Yes. Frozen desserts, like an ice cream truck, something like that. Buying ice cream in the store.
Word. No, I think that's precisely. I mean, all these different things that we're talking about, the heat following, the heat and heat of it. And especially this first line, the relentless waves. I will tell you a bit about the revision process. When I first drafted this poem many, many years ago, heat B was at the front of every line. So it was a constant heat B this, heat B that. Then I was like, wait a minute, the heat is already there. So it's, even if I take away the heat away, it's still there. So I decided to only have heat B occur a couple of times in the poem. But I was playing with the various different meanings I think heat have. And once again, I really do think, you know, your audience does matter because, you know, someone could read heat B and think, think it's only about referring to heat as far as temperature, you know, but maybe someone else could think about heat. And, you know, I talk a lot about anti-gun violence. And but when I hear about heat, that's the first thing that comes to my mind, you know, or heat as in thinking about maybe like a hip hop tradition, like, oh, you got that heat, you know, that fire. So that's something that comes to mind as well. But also, kind of going back to that, it's the culprit for molten chocolates versus thankful for freezes versus off the process. Thinking about what heat can do to, you know, to a being, to a human, to a body. So, yeah. So there's a lot of things with heat that I think I wanted to tie together, and I like to have titles that are kind of just short and sweet. So that's why I chose heat B.
Thank you so much for spending time with us today. We really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed spending the morning talking to y'all about poetry, about art. I'm really excited to see where these zines go. And I'm not too sure if these zines are going to be digitized or if they're going to be available for purchase. But please let me know, and I'd love to grab a copy of the zine. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, I guess take care until next time.
This podcast series and programming by Your Words STL was made possible through grants from the National Endowment of the Arts and the Poetry Foundation. The music was created by the St. Louis musician, Joey Ferber.